God, as we come before your word, we know every word of it is true. Every word is profitable and helpful. And yet parts of it are convicting. Parts of it are hard. And so, Lord, we ask that your Spirit would come and move in our midst and help us to see that conviction is for our good. Lord, help us to see how we can grow and mature. Help us delight in the wonder of who you are and what you are doing in the world. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Words are powerful. Speaking is an incredible privilege and a responsibility. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." What a simple statement, but profound. So we can speak words of life or speak words of death. We can use our speech for good or for evil, which means we need to be really careful what we say. James warns us of the great warning, or of the great dangers that can come by means of the words that we say. Listen to some of what we heard read earlier in the service. So James 3 verse 2 says, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body." So first we see the seriousness of our speech and how hard it is to actually speak rightly. Now he gives us some illustrations. He says, "We put bits in the mouth of horses so that they obey us, and we guide their whole bodies. Look to the ships also. Though they are large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, but it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." What an image. Just a little spark can start a fire that wreaks just devastation. And here we're being told that our words can do the same thing. They can destroy, or they can lead a ship to its proper destination, or that horse where it's supposed to go. Our words seem little. They seem like they're not that big of a deal. And yet the scripture is telling us that what we say really matters. James continues. He says, "Every kind of beast or bird, of reptile, of sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things not to be so." Right? This is not how it's supposed to be, that we would speak beautiful, right words, and then soon after speak words that are horrible. And yet, that is exactly what happens. You see, this incredible privilege of speech is a great place of temptation. We are tempted every day, hour by hour, to misuse our words. And so we need to be on guard. We need to recognize that every time we speak, our words can go one of two directions. Either we'll speak words of life or words of death. Either we will speak words that build others up or words that tear people down. Our words are not neutral. I think often we think of it like that. Well, I was just saying as if that word "just" is appropriate. No, what we were saying really does something. We either speak to hurt or to help. So in this section that we've been studying in Ephesians 4, it's not surprising, as Paul tells us, to put off the old self and put on the new self. He addresses the way we speak. We're going to focus on Ephesians 4, verse 29, but for context, I'm going to go back and begin the reading at verse 25. "Hear now the word of the Lord, God's holy, perfect, inerrant, infallible word. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. This is the word of the Lord. I've noted the pattern that Paul is returning to again and again in this section. After telling us what not to do, he then tells us what we ought to do, and then he tells us why. And we see that same threefold pattern here. So instead of words that do damage, we are to speak words that help. And we're supposed to do so in such a way as to give grace to those who hear. So listen again. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Every time we speak, we have to decide what direction will our words go. So just imagine with me, a husband is worked all day, and he's coming home, and he's anticipating a nice home-cooked meal. His wife's a pretty good cook, and so he can even just anticipate the smell when he opens the door. And so he gets home, and he opens the door, and there's a smell. It's not the smell he was hoping for. You see, his wife got busy with the kids, and she accidentally burnt the roast. And so he comes in, and there's this just charred mess. It's smoking off of him, and it's bad news. At that moment, what is he going to say to his wife? He has a choice. He could say, "Are you kidding me? I work hard all day to provide for this family. Is it too much to ask that I come home to something edible? You expect me to eat this?" He could say that. And if there's a pattern in his life of saying things like that, words that just tear down, think what it's like when that's multiplied 20 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. Years later, that couple is in counseling, and they can't figure out why they can't say anything nice to one another. There has been a direction, a trajectory that has been set by the words that have been spoken. Now, let's rewind. Imagine, we go back, that husband comes home from work. He comes in the door, he smells that burnt smell. He could say, "Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I know you serve our family in countless ways. If this is the only trouble, if this is the worst thing that happens to us today, we are blessed. Honey, let's just load up the kids in the car. We'll go get Wendy's." Right? Those are just different words. Those are words that give grace. So as we think through this verse, I want you to think about how you normally speak, how you respond, the words that come out of your mouth. Day after day, hour after hour, sentence after sentence, we are choosing either the words of life or the words of death. We'll consider this verse under three headings. Here's the first one. Don't use your words for evil. It's pretty straightforward. Don't use your words for evil. The verse says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Not let a little bit out. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Now, the word corrupt here refers to what is spoiled or rotten, that which is putrid and disgusting. Unwholesome language should be as attractive to us as a rotten apple or some spoiled meat. I remember walking in the woods once and coming upon a dead animal, and oh, that smell of rotten flesh. It was not pleasant, and yet some of our words are just as unpleasant. What makes these corrupt words so disgusting and vile is that they're not intended to do good. They are the words of death. Instead of offering help, they're words that hurt, words that tear down, words like slander and gossip, words that don't need to be spoken, words that are destructive, words that are often spoken in anger. We need to be careful that we not speak words that are unkind, unhelpful, unnecessary. This category of corrupt words is pretty broad. I think it includes profanity, unwholesome words. There's some things that just don't need to be said. They're crude. They're improper. They show a lack of decency. There's some things that are obscene and ugly and foul, and we don't need to speak such words. We don't need to be suggestive and vulgar and unclean. Listen to these words from Colossians 3, verse 8. He says, "Now put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth." But of course, corrupt words can also seem innocent. But what corrupts them is that they're selfish words. Perhaps you monopolize the conversation. You just keep talking because you're the important one. What you have to say is what really matters. So you interrupt others because you really need to say something. You're the one with the best story, the experience that needs to be shared. You're the one that's interesting. If you keep seeking the attention and the praise of others with your words, then your words are corrupt. If you speak without thinking, if you just let everything out, if you just have to speak your mind, if your speech lacks self-control and restraint, well, then it's corrupt. The Bible warns us that idle chatter about trivial matters is unprofitable and unhelpful. Listen to 2 Timothy 2, verse 16. "Avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness." I don't have to give you too many examples. I think we all know exactly what I'm talking about. There's all kinds of ways in which we speak that we shouldn't speak. There's things that need not to be said. In fact, Scripture praises those whose words are few. Proverbs 10:19 says, "When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent." Such simple advice. Stop talking so much. The fact that there's so many words coming out of your mouth is a dangerous thing. As a preacher, you know, I struggle with this too. It's not just you. I'm not standing here as one who is got perfection. No, I say far too much and say it in the wrong way and talk about the wrong things. Brothers and sisters, we need help. We need to grow in this area. We all do. Sometimes we say, "Oh, I didn't mean to say that." And there are some times when that's true, where the wrong word came out. It's not what we meant to say. We just misspoke. We mispronounced it. Sometimes we say what we don't mean, but often, most often, the trouble is that we actually said what we did mean, and now we're just embarrassed, and we're trying to wiggle our way out of the situation. When we speak, it reveals who we are, what we're really thinking. What slips out of our mouth tells everyone the truth of who we are. Jesus said as much in Matthew 12, verse 34, he said this, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of the good treasure brings forth good. The evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Every word we speak matters. And what Jesus is helping us to recognize here is that the only way we can truly change our speech is to change our heart. It has to start in here before it truly changes us. Notice again there in verse 29, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth." Sometimes these corrupt thoughts, something that's rude or crude, comes to mind. And in that moment, we need to not let it out. If some evil thought comes to mind, don't let it proceed out of your mouth. Rather, when that evil thought comes to your mind, kill it. Put it to death. Be done with it. Stop thinking such things. But certainly don't let it come out of your mouth. We need help. As James told us, we can't tame our own tongue. If the Lord doesn't help, we are absolutely sunk. Listen to this prayer from Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. We should be praying that we not speak wrongly. We should be intentionally trying to speak what is good and right, but we should be asking for the Lord's help again and again and again. Thankfully, the Bible doesn't just say, don't do that. Stop saying those foul words. Again and again, the Bible says, replace what is wrong with what is right. And so it is here. Do not use your words for evil, but secondly now, rather use your words for good. Use your words for good. Paul says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion. We are called to speak words that are wholesome, words that are profitable, words that are edifying. Basically, here's the idea. What I say is supposed to do good. It's supposed to help. We are intentionally to speak what is good and lovely and true. Our words should be thoughtful. They should be considerate. They should be under control. The saying goes, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Well, that's actually not far off from what this verse is saying. We should only say things that are good and uplifting and profitable. Now, there is a place for correction. But even that correction is not intended to do harm. It's not to tear people down. It's to help them. We should only speak in a way that helps. So easy to do the opposite, to speak words that do harm, that hurt others. We're never to speak destructive words. Notice the word only. Only such as is good for building up. So if something doesn't build up, if it's not going to bring benefit, it's literally not worthy of being said. There's all kinds of sentences that never need to be spoken. And yet we have spoken them again and again. We should not speak selfishly. Instead, we should be speaking with a concern for others. Our conversation is to be edifying, valuable, looking to benefit those around us. And of course, our speech should be clean and pure and righteous. It should be good words. The book of Proverbs has much to say about our speech. Here's yet another example. Proverbs 12, verse 18. What an image we have here. There is one whose rash words are like a sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Some words are as destructive as a weapon piercing into a body, but other words, they actually bring healing. They help. We've just got to recognize that when we speak over and over again, this is the option that is before us. Are we going to hurt or are we going to help? Are we going to do harm or are we going to seek to bring healing? Will we speak the words of life or the words of death? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion. That's an interesting little clarification there. Our words, they need to be fitting. They need to be appropriate. That means they need to be thoughtful. We can't just talk and say what's right. We have to think and use some wisdom. What is the best thing that needs to be said in this situation to this particular person? We need to consider the people that we're speaking to and their experience, their situation. Listen to how Paul describes his interaction with the church at Corinth. This is 1 Corinthians 3. He says, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. That is technically a rebuke. He's telling them they should grow up. And yet, notice that that's exactly what he did, though. He recognized what they could handle, and he was going to give them what they could take. We need to be careful what we say and think before we speak about the people to whom we're speaking, that our words are appropriate, fitting. I appreciated what Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote considering this text. He said this: "We do not just talk and talk and talk. We do not merely make our correct statements. We have to learn to understand other people and their needs. And we should be so anxious to help them that we take time, we meditate, we think, we feel our way. We see the position and then apply the necessary and appropriate word." That's exactly what we're called to do, to speak the appropriate word, the fitting word. Again, Proverbs 25:11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver." It is a treasure when a word is spoken just right. And we should be seeking to do that. If you're anything like me, an average, ordinary conversation, it's easy to just talk without thinking first. But again, the scripture warns us to be slow to speak. We should consider what we're going to say before we speak. Oh, that we would be those who speak words in season. Words that are designed to help. Words that are just what is needed at the time. Words that contribute. We want to be constructive, encouraging, uplifting. We want to speak words that instruct others. Our conversation is supposed to be productive, helpful, edifying. Or to just put it simply, we're supposed to use our words to encourage one another, to help one another. Well, finally, we get to the third section, the motivation. Why should we speak these encouraging words? What's the reason that Paul gives? Well, he gives us a simple explanation. It's so that we can give grace. So don't use your words for evil. Rather, use them for good, so your words give grace to one another. Give grace. Listen again to the verse. "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." The point of our speech is always to give grace in some shape or form. We're supposed to speak with grace. We're to minister grace with every word. The reason we speak is intentionally to encourage one another. We're called to be uplifting, to motivate. And when he speaks of grace here, he starts reminding us of Jesus. I think basically what he's calling us to do in this verse is to follow Christ's example, to speak as he spoke, the very words of life. In Luke 4, verse 22, we read that all marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. They were just amazed that Jesus just kept giving grace and giving grace and giving grace. He spoke graciously. John begins his gospel by telling us that Jesus was full of grace and truth. In fact, Jesus' whole life, death, and resurrection was a giving of grace. Jesus, the perfect one, who never spoke a corrupt word, he lived and died in the place of sinners, in the place of all who recognize, like Isaiah before them, they have unclean lips. Jesus died so that those sinful speakers could not only be forgiven, but be transformed. And that's exactly what the gospel promises us, that we are being made new, that our mouths will be renewed because our hearts are being renewed. The gospel promises us a transformed life. It's our only hope. If we're really going to change the way in which we speak, we need God to change us at the root of who we are. Jesus took the punishment that our sinful words deserved so that we could be cleansed, We've all heard of a mother saying, oh, after I heard that, I need to wash his mouth out with soap. Jesus actually cleanses our mouths. He makes us clean, not with soap, but by dying in our place. The gospel has the power to transform our thoughts and our words and our actions. So let me just ask you, have you ever said to the Lord, take my mouth and make it yours? Let me speak as I ought. Lord, come and make your appeal through me. Right? That's our memory verse. We've been delighting in the fact that we, as ambassadors for Christ, speak for the Lord. Well, if we're supposed to speak for the Lord, we don't want to also be speaking for the devil, right? We want our words to be righteous and holy and good. The only hope is that the Lord change our hearts. And those who are saved by grace, they really can speak words of grace. Listen to Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So Jesus' words were gracious, and so should our words be. John MacArthur put it this way. Our graciousness reflects the grace of Christ, who uses our graciousness to draw others to his grace. So when we speak the words of grace, it draws others to our gracious Savior. This is who our God is, a God who's merciful and patient, who's kind and gracious. And he calls us to follow in his steps. Again, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We need to recognize every time we speak, we really do have a choice to make. Will I speak the words of life or the words of death? Will I speak words that are corrupt, or will I speak words that build up and give grace? Paul tells us, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let's pray. Lord, we need your help. It is so clear to us that we have and seem to continue to speak words that need not be said. Lord, guard our mouths. Help us to speak what is true and right. Lord, work in our hearts. Cast away evil thoughts that would come out as evil words. Help us to be kind and tender-hearted. Help us to be patient. Help us to speak words that give life, words that give grace. And protect us from speaking words that are destructive and harsh and put others down. Lord, we want to be those who lift others up. Lord, we know our only hope is you. And so we come to you and we ask. We ask for your ongoing help. Sanctify us, Lord. We pray all this in the name of Jesus.